Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio for Three Women, Three Ways. And we are the show that talks to you about current events, things that have happened in our lives. We all do this from our personal perspectives, and today we have two of us on the show. Our normal study here, Deborah, is out doing some other things, and so you have Heather, that's me, and Pinkley, or Connie Sue. And hi, Pinkley.
Good morning, Heather. How are you this morning?
I was just saying, I feel kind of loggy this morning.
Yeah?
Where you are, the sun is shining and all that kind of stuff, but boy, where I am, it is gloomy and foggy, and I just feel like I just felt like I wanted to crawl back in bed all day.
Well, we can certainly do whatever we want, right?
Yeah. Let me talk a little bit about who I am. I have been involved in an area of domestic violence for the last 13 years, and the interest that I had spurred me to go back to college a few years ago, so I got a master's degree in public administration with a focus on domestic violence, and then I decided I liked that so much I went on, and I am just finishing up my classwork for a PhD in psychology and starting my dissertation in about 2 weeks. So that's where I'm at. I have a long career of broadcasting and writing, and that diversity has brought me here. What about you, Connie Sue?
Wow, Heather, that's just fantastic. Well, it's Pinkley Connie Sue, or just Pinkley for short. What brought us together as a united front, the three of us, is that we connected on the level of being survivors and of domestic violence. And I left my home and fled my home in 1997, and I've been involved in the movement and in the work since that period of time. I'm currently a program director at a local agency that serves domestic violence and sexual assault survivors. I went back to school, got my AA, and graduated a couple years later with a BA in social justice at the local Evergreen State College, which was just a fascinating and wonderful experience. So, Heather, we're going to talk today, this morning, about letting go. What do you think about that, Heather?
Well, you know, we kind of changed our topic for today when Pinkley called me and Deborah last night and said, you know, I think I'd like to talk about letting go. And I thought, boy, I was just conversing with my son this afternoon about letting go, about that topic. I was reminiscing about some of the things from my abusive marriage. And my son said, you know, Mom, it sounds like you just really haven't let go of some of that stuff. And I got a little defensive because I thought, let go, let go. It was years, it was trauma. You know, what do you mean, let go? And he said, I said, well, sometimes I need to have that in my, you know, my memories. And he goes, well, that's fine if you need it and you want to talk about it. It just sounds like it's hurting you. And I went, ooh, even though my son is an adult, out of the mouths of babes.
Right.
So then right on the heels of that is when you called and said, I want to talk about this topic. Let me stop for just a real quick moment. We have a chat line open if you would like to get hold of us. If you want to call in and join us with your own stories or observations about letting go, our phone number is 646-378-0430. That's 646-378-0430. 378-0430. We're having kind of a casual approach today to our conversation, and we'd love for you to join us. Pinkley, how did you arrive at this idea for this topic?
Well, Heather, I have, for the last nearly 4 years, been working through, going through stuff that a house that I moved into, which also contained another household. So there's basically two households of things being put into one household.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going through a lot of things that bring back up all these memories. And part of me just wants to get a dump truck and just load it in and never see it again.
Yep.
The other part of me wants to honor and respect the people in my life, you know, going through 35 years of pictures and so on and so forth. So years ago, I developed, through a workshop that we did at a retreat, a matter of containment. And so what I've done over the years is sort of made these very special boxes. And it doesn't have to contain a lot, but I've selected just a few very meaningful things that, pictures or little, you know, like what, when kids give you cards or, you know, things like that, that, oh my gosh, you just feel this need to hold on to it forever because it's so very special. Well, what I've learned is that you don't have to hold on to everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of what I've been doing. And it's, I'm on about the third weekend of going through this process. And what I came to as a conclusion for myself was letting go doesn't mean that the experience didn't happen. And I think that there's a lot of social pressure or ideas from families and friends that if you talk about an experience or something that's happened, that you haven't let it go. Just like, you know, the response that you got from your son. So I think it's really critical that when we are processing, to remind ourselves that it's not because it didn't happen. I think you talked a little bit earlier before we got on the air, Heather, about the conflict. So can you talk about that? Because I think that that's such an important piece for what people experience.
Well, the observation that I was reading was that sometimes we keep our stuff, and I'm including the mental stuff there as well as the physical stuff. We keep our stuff because there's a conflict between what we think we ought to do and what we really want to do. So for me, you know, especially having lost my family, you know, those folks are gone, and it's a really weird feeling when there's nobody left who remembers you when you were a child. There's nobody left to whom you can bring up old funny events and everybody laughs at them because they remember them. There's nobody that does that. And that's a really weird and lonely feeling. To not have family members, you know, from your generation and your parents' generation left. I mean, I, of course, have my children, and, you know, I don't want to minimize their impact on my life. But it's different. They only know me as a mother. They don't know me as a person. And so there's this feeling that I had that if I let go of that stuff, even though I was stumbling over it, even though I knew I would never use it, didn't really even want it, there was this conflict between just dumping out that garbage so I could walk through my garage and hanging on because I felt like I should keep those people, that as long as I had their stuff, somehow or other they were still alive or they were still with me. So there's a conflict there. And have you experienced that?
Oh, absolutely. I think particularly through divorce and death.
Yeah.
Those two experiences have really propelled me into wanting to honor, you know, and keep a part of that, because letting go to me doesn't mean forgetting. It doesn't mean that you have forgotten. For me, what I've ended up doing is in order to be able to move on, I've had to symbolize or contain in an area, if you're talking about materialistic things, which has then helped me go to a place if I need to remember or reminisce about something. I have this very small box that I can go to, and I open it up, and it contains it for me. And then I don't have to carry it around emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it does
go back to that conflict. It's like what we want to do or what we think we should do.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's also a certain amount of social pressure to let go. I mean, I was in my marriage for 25 years. So, okay, I've been divorced for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Do I pretend like all that 25 years didn't happen? And it's almost like if you reminisce or talk about something that happened in your marriage, it's like people, well, that's over with. That's done.
Right.
Let it go.
And move
well,
on.
How do you let go of a 25-year chunk of your life? There were things that happened. There were things that were good. There were things that were bad. There was, you know, there are observations. There are things that I learned. I mean, I was, you know, like 19 when I hooked up with my husband. So I basically grew up with that guy and in that marriage. So how do you just let go of all that stuff and just basically excise 25 years of your life? It makes no sense to me. But yet I feel that there is a lot of pressure. Again, in this conversation with my son, I said, well, I think I talk more with you about stuff like this than I do with other people, because I know that you knew him, and, you know, it's not something where you'll shut me down. And it's also, just like I said with my family, it's something where you can share an experience. You get validation from sharing that experience with somebody who knew about it. And I said, with other people, I'm more on guard, but I know that you are okay with me if I say things like this. So I said, I'll try. I didn't realize it made you uncomfortable, and I'll try to be more on guard. And he said, no, I don't want you to be on guard. If you want to talk about it, that's fine with me. It just sounds like it hurts you. And that was his concern. But I think from like a lot of friends, I mean, I have learned to be very guarded about saying anything about those 25 years of my life, because people do tend to judge. What, you're still talking about that? You haven't let that go? Why don't you just get over it? Well, like I said, how do you chunk out 25 years of your life and pretend like it never happened?
Yeah. And
yeah.
The point about, well, it sounds like it hurts you, it's like when an event, especially a traumatic event, Heather, don't you think that lives in your body?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the pain is there, but it's how do we address an experience, honoring and recognizing that it happened, but not letting it control us, so that we are able to still continue to move on. But it doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's the conflict for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you're talking about the physical stuff, that physical stuff is a reminder, but it's also a certain level of comfort because, again, those physical things were with you when those people were alive or when those people were part of your life and all that stuff. So there is a certain level of comfort in the things. But you do have, like you said, there's that conflict between what you think you ought to do, which is protect yourself by keeping that stuff around, and what you really want to do, which is basically kick it all to the curb because it was junk, you know? I think there is a tremendous conflict in us, and I don't think a lot of us get very much support if we do need to go back and revisit that.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, for heaven's sake, that's been so long, get over it. Well,
or if
okay.
You have it. If you have a trigger point, you know, a smell, a sight, a feeling, an emotion,
mm-hmm.
which takes you back to that particular time. You know, somebody might have a particular saying that reminded you of that event or that situation. I think the danger of not letting go, and letting go doesn't mean it didn't happen and that you forget, but not being able to move on and embrace the future. Like, for example, what I hear you say, Heather, is that you went to school. Out of your experience, you've made certain decisions about your life, so you have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like here.
Yeah.
And we all
yeah.
have moved on. I mean, life really doesn't allow us not to unless, I mean, for some people, I guess that's not a choice. They you know, for whatever reason, have lots of issues around that. But embracing the future while letting go. So there's the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Letting go while at the same time embracing your future. So that it,
well, and it can be awfully hard to do any embracing when you're terrified. And a lot of times when there's change in your life, there's a certain level of terror. There's fear.
Well, and again, it's, I really like that you brought up that conflict idea, because you're doing two things simultaneously. You're letting go while you're trying to move on. I found some information I thought that would be really helpful, and there are really some very simple things that we can do, but yet it allows us to move on. The first thing, which sounds so very simple, is to find stillness and just breathe and do a little meditation and understand that it does take time to reflect on your history. So if you need to take that moment, like I had no idea that going through just pictures would take me 3 weekends.
Yeah.
You know, it's taking the time to understand that you need to reflect, that that's an important part. And it says here, take time to reflect on your own history as if you were a third party looking in without judgment. So simply observe. Understand that where you're at right now is not your past. And knowing and understanding your past creates our future. That creates who we are.
Yeah, but there's also something to be said for mourning. I think that when periods of our life have changed significantly, or we've lost people or lost an experience, and a divorce is a loss, you know. I mean, even if it was a bad marriage, divorce is a loss. And so you do have to mourn that. And anybody who's lost a loved one knows that, you know, you mourn your whole life. You just don't do it with the same intensity as you do, you know, immediately. It's a mourning process, and I think that we can't minimize how important that process is. We can't, you know, in our interest in just moving on, we can't just forget that we might need to take that time for mourning, and even if it's years. I mean, like I said, when you lose a loved one, you know, the initial mourning and grief is just terrific, but people don't really talk about it much, but that grief is with you your whole life.
Absolutely.
You just learn to manage it and learn to work around it or through it, but it's always there when, you know, you've lost your mother, your father, a sibling, or, you know, it's always there. And I think that sometimes people don't allow themselves to revisit or go back and take that time for mourning. Does that, and I guess that goes back to my idea that sometimes we're pressured to let go when we're not ready.
Right. And just like when you're talking about mourning and grief, it's, you know, there's 5 stages of that. And the fact that the stages, what are they? Help me remember what they are. Anger.
Denial.
Anger, denial.
There's bargaining in there.
Bargaining. I can't remember the other two. But
we finally hit resolution. We're missing one here, but
right. Acceptance.
Yeah.
But those stages, I think you continue to go through. But as you said, not with the intensity of when the incident or the event just occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So those things transition with you throughout your whole life, don't you think?
Yes, I agree. And I really like your idea of taking a piece, a representative sample, whether it be a photograph or an article, and keeping that one thing as a representative, because then you can, there is something about compartmentalizing, you know, where you take something and you say, okay, this, I mean, I've had times like that in my life where I've been upset or whatever, or at work or whatever, and I'll think to myself, I cannot cry here, but at 6 p.m. I can cry.
Right,
and I think it
right.
sounds like the same thing with your boxes. You know, I can't carry that around my neck all the time, but I can, when I need to, go back and visit this.
Right. It's a matter of containment. It's a way for me to honor. It's like you were saying, it's part of your life too. Even though this other person chose to have all these behaviors and ended up being in an abusive marriage or relationship, it was still my life too.
Yeah.
Those things happened to me, but during those times there was also the good times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally cutting out a piece of your life that didn't happen. And a really good example, I guess, are what I'm experiencing right now are my wedding pictures. It's like, what the hell do I do with those?
Yeah.
But I'm like, wait a minute. That was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
The day itself was magnificent. And to say that that didn't happen or to, rip up all these pictures or burn them means that I'm taking a part of me with that.
I always say I loved my marriage. I loved my wedding, but I hated my marriage.
and some people may choose to burn them or throw them away, whatever that means, but that's their way of letting go, which is fine, and mm-hmm. I've certainly done that to a few things. I've gotten angry, and I always said I wanted to take a sledgehammer and smash all the china, because it represented so much. But by doing that, I would be destroying a piece of me, and
sure.
I opted to do that.
Yeah. Pinkley, this might be a good spot for us to stop and talk a little bit about some of the organizations we support on our show, and one of them is Heal Everywhere, and that is an organization that I actually helped found to help serve survivors of domestic violence. Now, when you're going through domestic violence, there's a lot of help available to you, a lot of resources you can go to. But if you're 3, 4, 5 years out, you're no longer in danger, but you still are having a hard time, getting life back on track and to being the person that you want to be, that's where we step in. And we have a lot of plans for future activities, but one of the activities that we're able to do right now is called DV Doggy, and that's where we help match up survivors of domestic violence who would benefit from a service dog in performing their daily life tasks that, help hook them up, help them understand whether or not they qualify for a service animal, and hook them up with a service animal and a trainer, and, hopefully enrich their lives that way. And as you were talking, I think, about some of the triggers that people experience, Pinkley, those triggers are usually a symptom of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And there are studies that show as many as 85% of women who've gone through abuse have PTSD. So that is one of the reasons that a service dog could be helpful. So if you are interested in helping either with DV Doggy or just in general, please connect with us on Facebook at Heal. Facebook.com/heal and check us out and see if you can be helpful or see if you can receive some help from us. So you were talking. Oh, let me get the phone number again. It is 1-646-378-0430, and we'd love to have you join this casual conversation about letting go. It's something I think that affects all of us at some point in our lives, whether it's because of abuse or just because of life happening. So 646-378-0430, or join us on the chat line. Pinkley, you were saying before we went to this little break about what were you saying? There was something I was going to remember because I had something to contribute, but you were talking about containment.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. One time I was giving a presentation to a group of survivors, and we were now that I look back on it, I think we were addressing that topic, because you don't want to you don't want your memories or your things to weigh you down. You have to get going with your life. You have to, because you either keep going with your life or your life is over. And so one of the things that I mentioned to this group is, you know, you can put all of that, your mental pictures on the wall behind you. Just put all of those mental pictures up there, all of the things that you wanted to do, all of the things that you did do, all of those mental pictures that you have, just put them on that wall back there. Now take a couple steps forward away from the wall and turn around. You know, they're still there. Those pictures are still there. Now take another couple steps forward, turn around, they're still there. And we made it all the way to the other wall, and I said, now turn around. See, those things are still there for you. You're moving forward, but if you need to, you can turn around and revisit it.
Right.
And it sounds like that's kind of what you were talking about with your mental boxes, your compartmentalization.
Right, the memory boxes or containment. It's been very healing for me, and I don't have a sense of the weight of these things, that if they're just sitting in a box or out in my garage, I have a special place to go to, and they can be just very tiny, small boxes. It could be, you don't even have to have a box. You could have like a rock that you picked up at the beach with this person or during this time or this event, and put it in a little satin bag or something and just tuck it away in a special place. And if you need to go back and have something physical, then that's there waiting for you. But it doesn't keep you from moving on with your life. I think another piece, too, Heather, I want to touch base on is letting go. For me, is also about forgiving myself.
Okay. And we were talking a little bit about forgiveness yesterday, weren't we? About what part forgiveness has in this memory process.
Right.
And I know we talked about this once before. I have some rather strong feelings about forgiveness. I think that, and maybe we're talking semantics, but I think that forgiveness is not the crucial thing that everybody says it should be, that it's for your own benefit to forgive. I think it's for your own benefit to not fester over something. But if somebody's done something truly evil, I'm not going to forgive them, because that's giving them a free pass. It's saying, oh, okay, now you're forgiven, so I'm not hurt anymore, and you can just go breathe easy. I don't believe that that should be. If somebody did something really awful, and I'm not talking about, you know, stealing a pencil, I'm talking about something really awful, then why should I give them a free pass on their behavior, on their actions? Doesn't mean that I have to sit around, you know, as I said, festering over it. I can see where that would be harmful to a person to do that to themselves. But I think you can let go without providing forgiveness.
What about forgiving ourselves for some of the mistakes that we may have made in our lives? And after all, we are human.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, that's an interesting point, because I hadn't really thought about forgiving yourself.
One of the biggest weights that I can carry around is just going, wow, if I had only done this, or if I'd only done this, or if I'd only done that. I mean, we've all made mistakes in our lives, and so I think that it's an important part of that process of letting go, is also forgiving ourselves. And maybe it's, you know, just something very simple, that if you had decided to do one thing a different way, you can look back and go, wow, my life would have been totally different.
Yeah. I don't know. Forgiving yourself. I don't know. That's such a foreign concept to me.
Well, I encourage you to think about that.
Yeah.
The other thing, I think that when we think of, we were talking about, you know, for example, you know, pictures or just some place that, you know, you were talking about a 25-year marriage. not thinking of that as being any time as being lost, but that it is and was part of your life. So it's not lost time. It's just what it was. Mm-hmm. We can't go back and change it, but not thinking of it as a loss. Now, the relationship was a loss, right? There's that grieving that goes with that. But don't think of that period of time as, wow, you know, I lost time with this person.
Yeah, in my case, I always think that was my youth. That was my entire youth. And that's gone. I'll never get that back again. And what did I have all that effort and you know, because there was a lot of effort, you know, involved. And I think that regret is a large part of not letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can't forgive ourselves as easily as we think we can.
And I think that's so crucial. That is such an important part of being able to move on or letting go. You know, letting go seems like such a cliche. I mean, that's such a big statement for so much of what we experience in our lives of letting go. And, you know, it's just, I use the example with great honor and dignity and support of the survivors and victims of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think of that as an example because of trauma and post-traumatic stress and moving on and anger. I mean, that was such a huge catastrophic event that the whole world experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
On some level, we were all impacted by that event. That will never leave our memory or our body. You will probably go back and think, wow, I remember where I was when that happened or when I heard about it. But that level is not going to be the same as having been there, survived it or lived through it or being a survivor of a loved one that was lost that didn't make it through.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, so...
Yep.
If you were to say to somebody that was impacted by the loss of a loved one through that 9/11, would you say, why aren't you over it? Why don't you just get over it? Why don't you just let it go? Would you even think about saying that to someone?
I wouldn't, but I can imagine that that's a possibility for certain people.
And I don't think that the expectation of letting go is as high because we were all impacted by it on some level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say the whole world, but most of us that were here, that were born, that lived through that, heard about the event, was impacted. It changed so many things in our world and in our culture. I mean, my goodness, you can't even get on an airplane now that, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Even the way we get on airplanes changed. So it had a level of impact on all of us. And the impact of trauma or loss or, you know, having an idea of how you want your life to be that didn't turn out exactly like that is with us every single day. It shapes how we make decisions, how we have other relationships, our trust, our level of anger, our level of fear, concerns, how we open ourselves up to the possibility of other things in our life. Traumatic events impact us on so many levels. So to say to someone, why don't you just let that go or aren't you over that, is really, that's a harsh statement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think there is, if you've experienced a traumatic event, there is still a lingering sense of pain that goes with that, but it's the level of pain that I think paralyzes us. And so working through that, and for me, Heather, and for our listeners, I can only say that when I have breakdowns or when I need to stop and just reminisce or have that memory, I don't call them breakdowns. I call them breakthroughs. Because if I don't experience that, then I can't move forward.
Well, you're probably right about that. I haven't really thought about that. But I don't know. There seems to be a fine line between this whole concept of letting go and just kind of like hiding from what other people expect from you.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more. What do you mean by that?
Well, like I was talking to my son, I said, oh, well, you know, I didn't think I had to be guarded with you about what I talked about. And he said, no, you don't have to be guarded with me. It's fine if you want to talk about it. It's just that I sense that it's not helping you. It's not, you know, that there's still, that it's hurting you to keep doing that. And so he was not coming from a place of judgment, but I do become very guarded with other people because I do think that they judge me, that I haven't, you know, quote unquote, gotten over it, so therefore there's something wrong with me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I still, I'm going to go back to the 9/11 event. I think that we would have much more compassion for if you met, say, the daughter of a 9/11 victim whose father died because he was a first responder, or that person was a first responder, you would have much more patience and empathy and concern for that than some other thing that's happened, a death or domestic violence. Domestic violence changes your life. It changes your life forever.
Well, it changes your brain. It changes everything. So, yeah, and one of the things that I've noticed about domestic violence in particular is that unless people have experienced it or know somebody who's experienced it, they don't get it. They think that all people are reasonable, rational, and behave as they do.
Right.
Yeah, and when you're dealing with an abuser, you're not dealing with a person who's, you know, the same as everybody else. This abuser deals with life very differently. So if you've never been around that, if you've never seen that, you tend to assume that that somebody might be over-dramatizing the trauma in their lives because of this thing. Kind of like childbirth, you know. I had a birth assistant for one of my kids, and she said that she had three kids, and the first two were just boom, boom, thank you, and, you know, she was done. And so when she would assist women with difficult births, and they would be, you know, pretty dramatic about, you know, the discomfort they were feeling, she always kind of thought that it was just because they couldn't handle pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had a third child, and it was a completely different experience, and it was extremely painful. And she said it just really opened her eyes that, no, it's not the difference between her first two births and these other women's births were not that they just couldn't handle it. It was a different experience. So everybody's childbirth is different. None of it's a picnic, but it's different for everybody. And so, but that's not what we really realize. We realize that, you know, if we've gone through something and somebody else has gone through something, their experience is probably just like ours.
Right.
And in the case of abuse, No. It's not like that at all.
And it is
so,
a loss. It's a, you know, I think it is a loss, and people don't recognize it as such, is that you could still be in mourning, but on a different level, like we talked about, those five stages. It's a loss of something you believed in strongly would be okay. You know, that you were going to be with this person for the rest of your life if you got married.
Mm-hmm.
So talking specifically about domestic violence, that's a trauma. Heather, there's something really interesting I discovered this morning. We have all heard about post-traumatic stress or syndrome, or what was the other?
Disorder. Yeah.
I came across something that really interested me, and It was called, it's called post-traumatic growth. And it resonated with me that it's sort of this parallel idea about letting go. It's you're recognizing that you've had trauma, but you're able to grow and continue on in life. I'll tell you what it means, the Wikipedia here, but there I found a couple other quotes on it too, some information. Post-traumatic growth refers to positive psychological change experienced as a result of the struggle with highly challenging life circumstances. These sets of circumstances represent significant changes or challenges to the adaptive resource of the individual and pose significant challenges to individuals' way of understanding the world and their place in it. Post-traumatic growth is not simply a return to baseline from a period of suffering. Instead, it is an experience of improvement that for some person or persons is deeply meaningful.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. That is very interesting because nobody's described that before that I know of. That's something, well, I think, though, if we look at it, something positive can come out of almost every life experience. We might have to look for it a little bit, but, you know, definitely something positive comes out of everything, whether it's just the removal of stress from your life or that particular stress from your life, all the way up to, you know, having the freedom to actually grow and do what you want and, you know, that kind of thing. So it makes sense, but what doesn't make sense to me, well, what doesn't make sense to me is that it doesn't really recognize the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not communicating very well. It kind of makes it sound like, oh yeah, you know, this will make you a better person. You know, I mean, who is it? You or Deb? At the end of your emails, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's true, but
honor what happened.
But I also think it can minimize what's happened. And I think one of the worst things for anybody is to have their experience, especially a tremendously impactful experience, denied.
Right.
You know, I think that's one of the first things that we want after a trauma is for somebody to acknowledge that we just went through something big here.
Well, I interpreted this like something that is something to reach or to attain or move towards after recognizing the trauma. I would hope that there would be that recognition, but that you don't need to stay there, that there is growth, that you're recognizing the trauma, but you can continue to grow while this experience it still lives in you. You know, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, that still lives within you. That's something that will never go away. A traumatic event or a life-altering event, a death, a loss, any loss that you experience in your life, doesn't that stay with you? That's not something that you can just go, oh, I'm over it, I'm letting go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
you.
I think it makes a difference, too. We were talking about levels of grieving or levels of loss, and the level does change.
Right.
I think just simply because of the passage of time, the levels of the emotion of the feeling definitely changes. You know, like if you're talking about the death of someone, you know, I mean, we always grieve that person's loss, but the depth of that grief, we learn how to manage with it a little bit, and unless we're really, you know, brought to a place where we are going down memory lane or whatever. I can kind of see that it would make that the levels of change and your emotional change experiencing a loss would change. So, my question is, so does that mean it's easier to quote-unquote let go down the road than it is immediately?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. And I just, I think for our listeners, and for myself, to remind myself, I wanted to just touch quickly on that, the five stages. So denial and isolation, anger, bargaining, acceptance. Is that five? Acceptance. Oh, depression can also be part of that. Bargaining, anger, denial, and isolation.
Yeah.
And so it says, remember, grieving is a personal process that has no time limit nor one right way to do it. Just like you're explaining about childbirth,
mm-hmm.
people have different experiences with it. So in the same with grief or loss.
But we have different experiences with all of these things, but we all seem to use the yardstick of our own personal experience to measure everybody else. And, you know, maybe that's asking too much from people to understand someone else's experience at that level. But it does seem to me that a lot of the judging that occurs when life events happen that people are struggling to get over, they have those life events and that everybody judges your behavior based on their experiences.
And I think that, Heather, that's why it is so important. One of the things that I've learned is to really go within myself and honor what myself is saying that I need to do and not live by other people's expectations or standards or
mm-hmm.
judgment. Again, I love the thing that you talked about, the conflict between what we want to do and what we think we should do. What we
mm-hmm.
want is one thing and what we should do. And if you were to ask yourself, well, where are these messages coming from with this, what I think I should do versus what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So work within yourself to say, I need to take time to honor, you know, what I'm feeling about this. And it goes into listening to our intuition and respecting ourselves, saying, giving ourselves permission to do that.
Yeah. And that's the tough part.
We were talking
earlier about, you know, forgiving yourself, which is a concept that I'm going, between forgiving yourself and acknowledging what you yourself need in order to process, you know, these things that occur. Takes a lot of confidence, I think, in yourself. And a lot of us are geared to get a lot of validation from other people rather than just ourselves. I know I was. And it can be hard for me to go, well, this is me, and that I have the confidence to do what it is that I want to do. I find myself really being swayed by other people's ideas of who I am and what I should be doing. Is that just me, or do you think that's...
by other people's validation, you need that support, but then really not going based on what other people's ideas of what you think you should be doing, but what you internally know that you need to do. Do you have a poem for us, don't you, Heather?
I do. Now, this is really, boy, this is bearing my soul. But part of what I do is I go through my my grieving process or my panic process immediately when something takes place, and then I turn into frantic problem solving, and then I start to resolve, come to peace with it. Does that make sense that that's kind of my personality, that's what I do?
Yeah.
And so this poem I wrote several years ago to try and explain and come to peace with some of the events that I had been through. And I call it Progress. I started life smooth and clean, sharp corners and straight lines, light reflecting from every angled surface, eager, ready, open. Years and months and people crashed and clawed and wept. Erosion like waves on sandy beach wore me, washed me. Corners sharp became rounded, surfaces dulled and quiet. A darkness came and I formed a ball, tight, hard, cold. Wind blew stones against me. Loved ones beat upon my shell. Tears like hail banged, fists clenched. Save me, help me. And one day the pounding shook me loose. I rolled and saw anew. No longer smooth and clean, no straight lines, no sharp corners remain. But I move faster without them. I roll better. The bashing left dents, the shine is gone, but the light I have comes from deep within, and no one can put it out.
Wow, that's beautiful, Heather.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that on the radio.
I know. Now, remember, I just confessed that I get a lot of validation from other people, so, you know, email us and go to our Facebook page and say that I was okay reading this poem on the air.
That was absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very, wow.
Yeah, well, I tried to convey, you know, because I think that's at least part of my life, you know, where you start out with everything brand new and enthusiastic, and then life starts happening. And
right.
Sometimes that life can be pretty rugged, and it does leave its marks, as we were talking before. It leaves its marks. And I think it's important at some point to come to the realization that those marks are not necessarily all bad.
Right, absolutely. They've made you, they've shaped who you are today.
Yeah. So
now, I have a quick little, I'll do a quote at the end, but I want to share this. Somebody gave this to me, a friend, a very dear friend. The author is unknown. She was in a yoga studio and found this sitting on a table. And it's called Let It Go. Let go of the ways you thought life would unfold, the holding of plans or dreams or expectations. Let it all go. Save your strength to swim with the tide. The choice to fight what is here before you now will only result in struggle, fear, and desperate attempts to flee from the very energy you long for. Let it all go. Let it go. Let it all go and flow with the grace that washes through your days, whether you receive it in gently or with all your quills raised to defend against invaders. Take this on faith. The mind may never find the explanations that it seeks, but you will move forward nonetheless. Let go, and the wave's crest will carry you to unknown shores, beyond your wildest dreams or destinations. Let it all go and find the place of rest and peace and certain transformation.
Wow. Somebody just left that sitting on a bench?
Well, I have it pinned to my wall.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Amazing. Yeah. Wow. You know, it's funny that we're talking about poetry now, because I think that we do get a lot of comfort from the written word, at least I do, when you're trying to process these things. And maybe that's also something that we can revisit in order to help us let go of things, is you know, some of the words that brought us comfort in the past. Some of the words that are important to us, maybe we need to revisit some of those in order to process some of the stuff that's going on with us that we want to let go a little bit. You know, when you do that letting go, it's almost a physical sensation that comes over you, that you're a little bit lighter, that you feel less burdened. But as I said, it's still there. If you need to revisit, you can.
Journaling is a great exercise for that. And there's one thing I learned about journaling, and that is it does not need to be perfect. Perfection is one of my hang-ups.
Yes, I know, Pinkley.
Which I have perfected greatly to let go of. I think I have perfected it.
Okay.
Perfection is not a reality. It's only an expectation. But journaling, talk about revisiting or releasing, it's a place where I encourage our listeners that if you've not ever experienced that, it's not like a book. Don't be afraid somebody's going to find it. If you need to contain your thoughts, it's a great container. Journaling, words, pictures, thoughts, ideas, they don't have to be complete sentences, just a way to release and get it out of you and put it somewhere that it's a very releasing experience of journaling. It's validation because the words that you're saying in your head are just swimming around in there, but once you get them out on paper, it's a validating experience for yourself to go, wow, I really did experience this, or I feel this way, or I need to do this, goals, aspirations, whatever that might look like for you. But I think journaling is an exceptional way of processing and letting go.
Well, and what I find is I'm not a consistent journaler. I don't, you know, every day or every other day sit down and do journal. But I do when I'm going through something. So I have, like, multiple journals in my life, but they are, none of them is a huge volume. They're all, you know, like maybe a notebook that I keep if something's happening. And what's amazing to me about that is as soon as I've written it down, it does let me let go. I can forget it because it's written down on that paper. And every now and then I'll pull out, you know, if I need to go to that place where I'm, you know, remembering these things, that you can go back and read some of that stuff and you can kind of go, oh, I forgot that that happened, or, oh, I forgot that I felt like that. So I think that even sporadic journaling, I think a lot of times people don't journal because they think, well, I wouldn't keep it up. Well, you don't have to, you know.
Exactly.
You really don't have to.
That's that idea of perfection. And sometimes I'll just pick up a journal and write a few pages in it and close it up and go, okay, I'm done with that. Move on to another one. It's not like you have to complete it. We could have a whole show on journaling, Heather. We can talk about
that.
We could. But the idea of perfection is definitely, just think of it as a process or a way of letting go and forget the idea of perfection or what you might have as a preconceived idea about journaling.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think for me anyway, it helps facilitate that not carrying the burden around with you. I know when our father died, my sister was still alive, and my father committed suicide. And my sister was having a very hard time dealing with it. And she went to see a counselor, and I was writing stories, just left and right, left and right, left and right. And they actually made my sister uncomfortable. And so my sister was telling her counselor about how I was writing all these stories, and my sister didn't want that. And basically, the counselor said that's how she processes it. So, you know, there are different ways to process. And, gosh, I've been yappering so much I didn't even realize the time. Do you have a quote for us, Pinkley?
I do, and I think it's got a little bit of a sense of humor to it. So I think it's a lovely way to end our show today, and this has been a great topic. Again, I don't know the author to this one, but I just kind of looked it up online. Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one. Except I was never very good at those monkey bars. Yeah, and I think, again, I think written words can sometimes help facilitate just about anything that we go through in life. So hopefully some of these quotes and poems that we read to you today either bring you comfort or help you resolve something or spur you to go find your own quotes and words to help you through things. And that pretty much brings us to the end. Thank you for joining us today. And Pinkley, you want to say goodbye?
Yep, we are three women, three ways, three divas.
And join us next week, 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll be happy to have you talk with us. And see you next week.